I'll try to follow the Seder over here. The first one is the meaning in Hashkofes of Birkas Hachama. The meaning, first of all. The meaning, whenever any one discusses Birkas Hachama, I find a certain phrase that's repeated all the time. It's once in 28 years that the sun comes back to its original position in the sky as it was during Masa Bereishis. Let me explain to you what Birkas Hachama is all about, Rabbosai. First of all, what's the beginning of the year? There's such a thing called the solar year. The solar year has a beginning and an end. And it's divided up into four parts, and we call each of the four parts Tekufos. The beginning of the solar year is a certain moment. It's called the equinox. The equinox is the day that the sun shines in such a way that night and day are equal. Equi, equal, nox, night. That's the Latin word for night. The night and day are equal. Okay, that's the equinox. And as you know, the equinox happens twice a year. One is in the spring, and from that point on the day gets larger. One is in the fall, and from that point on the day gets smaller. In the northern hemisphere. And the southern hemisphere is just the opposite. When it gets larger in the northern hemisphere, it starts getting smaller in the southern hemisphere. Okay. The beginning of the solar year is the equinox. And when we speak about the length of the year, 365 days and a quarter and a few minutes less according to this one and according to that one. I'm only going to discuss everything very briefly, Rabbi Sayyid. I'm not going to get involved in lengthy technological discussions where any of you will get lost. Whatever I'm going to say, I'll try to do in a way, hopefully, that everybody will be able to follow the basics. When we speak of the length of the solar year, it's from equinox to equinox. 365 and a quarter days, right? Roughly a quarter days, according to Shmuel, it's exactly a quarter of a day, and according to Avodah, it's less, about 5 minutes less. And we'll see if there's any other number in a moment. And to the next equinox, it's going to be that amount of time which we call a solar year. Okay. Now, this is one thing. Let me define for you two or three very simple things. When we look at the sky and we see the stars, and if everyone just would take a little peek at the sky when there's no cloud in the sky and when you're out in a place where there's not too many street lights to interfere with your ability to see things. So the stars are arranged in certain patterns and in certain groups. Some of them are recognized by almost everyone. I doubt if there's anyone who never saw the Big Dipper or the Belt of Orion, which dominates the winter sky, or a few others. Those are called constellations. And the constellations are more or less fixed on the sky. And they're fixed as if the whole sky was one huge crystal ball, transparent and clear. And the constellations were sort of imprinted on this big crystal ball. We know, of course, that there's distance, that some of them are so many light years away, and there's all this kind of thing. But I'm only going to speak about what we see. We see a sky, and on the sky there are stars, and the stars are arranged in a form called constellations. Okay, the word constellation simply means a group of stars together. Con, together, stella, star. So a group of stars together, constellations. Now, there are seven objects that are visible to the naked eye that move about among the constellations, that don't stay in one place. And those are the planets and the sun and the moon. The word planet in Greek means a wanderer. Those are wandering stars. They're called koichvei leches. They move about. They're not fixed. They're not in one place. And they have very odd paths among the stars. You can't trace an exact path. They move according to many, many mathematical formulas, which we have at this point no interest in. I'm not going to get involved in that at all. The path of the planets, and there's the path of the moon, and the path of the moon is not fixed, and the pattern is not easily predictable. That's why Chazal said, Shemesh Yoda Mevoyoy, the sun knows its path, and Yoreach Lo Yoda Mevoyoy. That's the Maamar Chazal and the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. There's only one item among the seven wandering objects in the sky that follows an exact path. Okay? And that's the sun. The sun travels around and around the sky, and it follows an exact specific line. Okay? That's the Mahalach HaShemesh. Good? The Mahalach HaShemesh forms a perfect line. There's no deviation. There's no width to that line. That line is a line without any thickness, any dimensions. The sun never veers from that line of Mashahu. It follows that line around and around the sky interminably. Right? That's what it says. Zorach HaShemesh, Vo HaShemesh. Okay? And in the northern hemisphere, the pasuk says, "Hoylech el Doraim v'soivev el Sofoin, soivev soivev hoylech haruach v'al sivoiso shov haruach." The sun goes round and round and round. But while the sun is going around every day, Rabbi Say, the sun doesn't follow that path at all. The daily motion of the sun has nothing whatsoever to do with that path that the sun makes among the stars. Okay. The path that the sun makes among the stars is an annual path. It travels around the sky once a year. The path that the sun makes in the sky when we see it, rising in the east, traveling across the sky and ending up setting in the west, that's the daily motion. Good? The daily motion is not moving among the stars because all the stars also move. The whole sky moves once around each day, approximately. So, the whole sky moves and the sun moves with it. But once a year, the sun travels around the sky and it forms a single path. Good? So, if you want to use the word position, yes, sometimes the sun is near to this star, sometimes it's near another star, and as it moves around the sky during the year, so it moves along that exact path, and it moves from one position to another position. Keeps on moving, doesn't stop. There's no vayisu vayachna. It just moves around and around and keeps moving. And if you want to identify where the sun is at any given time during the year, you say, oh, of course, I know where the sun is. It's 21 degrees across the constellation, you know, Shoir or Tle or whatever constellation, or Dogim, whatever constellation. And by the way, those 12 constellations that we're so familiar with, Mazal Adar Dogid, right? That means the constellation of the month of Adar is Dogid. That means the sun will be traveling around the sky and it'll pass through the constellation of Dogid. Okay? During the month of Adar. And Mazal Nisan Tleh, that means the sun will pass through Tleh during the month of Nisan. It'll pass through Tleh. Tleh is one of the 12 constellations. Most of them are names of animals, right? Tleh, Shor, Dogim, Akrav. And that's why it's called the zodiac. The zodiac is from the Shorish Zu. Understand? It's the heavenly zoo. That means there's 12 animals that are represented by their constellations. And the sun travels and goes along the path around and around the sky. Okay, that shouldn't be too difficult, is it? I hope I didn't lose anybody till now. I don't intend to. When is the beginning of the year and when does the following year begin? I told you before. And no change in that. It goes from one equinox to the other. Okay? Does the sun land up in the same spot on the sky from one equinox to the other? No way. Because over a year, the equinox, the equinoctial point, moves backwards along that line. That line, the Mahalach HaShemesh, there's a name in English that's called the ecliptic. That's a name, right? The Korish, maybe it's all ecliptic. Just, you should know the name. That's the path of the sun. The sun follows that path throughout the year. And once in the spring, and once in the fall, it'll be in a position where the night and the day will be equal for the whole world. The entire world, south, north, all at once, the night and the day will be equal. And that's the moment of the equinox. Every year it travels around, and again it hits the spring equinox. But, Rabbi said, the point where it will hit that equinox changes from year to year. And it keeps moving backwards. Okay? So, what do I mean when I say it moves backwards? Because the point on that path where the equinox takes place is earlier than it was last year. Not earlier, it's the same time, it's the beginning of the solar year, and there's only one beginning to the solar year. But it's more to the backwards in the path of the sun. As the sun travels round and round, and it goes on that circle, it'll hit the equinoctial point a little earlier on the circle than it did the year before. That means after 70 years, how much earlier will it hit? 1 degree. Every 70 years, 1 degree. Every 28 years, approximately, a third of a degree. Okay? Because when it goes around and around, equinox to equinox, beginning of the year, equinox, end of the year, equinox. We always begin with the equinox. When we speak about a year, it's the time between one equinox and the one a year later. Those are those numbers that you've been hearing about, 365 and a quarter, and this one and that one. It's the distance, the time between one equinox and the next equinox. Okay? But the point on the sky, the point on that big crystal ball which has all those stars studded on it and have those fixed constellations that you could recognize if you spend just a drop of time looking at the sky and noticing how one group of stars looks like this and one group of stars looks like that, and eventually you'll get to recognize them. It's not that difficult. But there's a path along which the sun travels. And you know how, in which direction the sun travels along that path? The direction is from west to east. Good? The direction that the sun travels every day is, of course, everyone knows that, from east to west. But during the year, when the sun travels around the sky, it travels from west to east. Makes one full circle. And what's the path that the equinox point travels? From east to west. Okay? So you got three paths. The daily path from east to west. Rises in the morning, right? It gets down to Marav, which means the point of darkening. That's what the word Erev. Mizrach is the point of shining, from the word Zereach. So it starts out from the shining point to the darkening point, and it goes from east to west. During the year, it makes a path around the sky, which is from the circle that it travels along. Its direction is from west to east, and it hits a point on that circle, the next equinox. And a year later, it hits a point that's a 70th of a degree, and going in a direction from east to west, sort of earlier on its annual path. Okay? 70 years, 1 degree. 2,000 years, approximately 30 degrees, a full constellation. Okay? Now, after 28 years, will the sun be in the same position as it was during Maaseh Bereishis, or the same position as it was 28 years ago? Could I express myself in Yiddish? A nechtige tog. There is no such thing as the position of the sun that we're bichlau interested in, or that's noigeya a kihu zed to the idea of Birkas HaChama. Okay? So I would suggest that whenever the word position of the sun comes, just press that little button that's in everybody's mind, which we have, you know, and the button says delete. That's it. There is no position of the sun that we're bichlal interested in. The position of the sun changes at the equinoctial point. We're interested in one thing, the time of the beginning of the year. No more, no less. And Maaseh Bereishis, when did the first beginning of the first year start? On a Tuesday night, because the Torah says that Deyehi Me'oirois Birkiah HaShemayim Vayyer Vayvoyker Yoim Revi'i. And it started right in the beginning of Yom Revi, which is the night of Yom Revi. It all starts with the night, Erev, then Boiker. And Tuesday night is the beginning when the sun was put into the sky. And from that point on, the sun goes around one full turn for each solar year, which means from equinox to equinox. Position? No way. It changes the position from equinox to equinox. And it's 5,769 and a fraction. Well, no. I take that back. We're working with V'nissen Nivra HaOlam. 5,769 years since the V'nissen Nivra HaOlam. Rabbi Say? That means it made that many turns around the sky and that many equinoxes, right? And its position changed. Well, you sit down with a pencil and paper and figure it out. It's more than 60, 70 degrees. That means if the sun was in the beginning of Tle, in the beginning of the first Nisan, so it moved back two constellations, right? After 2,000 years, at this point, it wasn't the beginning of Dogib, right? And 2,000 years more, at the moment of the equinox, the sun hit which point in the sky? In the beginning of Dli. Okay? You know, Keshes, Yedi, Dli, Dogib, Tle, and so on. Now, just perfect. The Good, good, good. It's good. It's good. Okay. Now, so when we speak about Birkas HaChama, we're speaking about one single thing, God bless you, and I'll explain it to you, and you'll understand it so simply that there'll be no need for the rest of your life for any additional discussion. It's a dover poshet admiyoy. If we wouldn't use these confusing words, then there would be no problem in understanding. How much is 365 and a quarter days? Well, first let's figure out how many weeks. 7 times 52 is 364. Right? 7 times 50 is 350. Come on. 7 times 2 is 14. Add 4. So 364 is 52 weeks. Good? Plus 1 and a quarter days, which is 1 and 6 hours, right? That means if the first equinox was Tuesday night, what will the equinox one full year later be? 1 and a quarter days later in the week, right? Tuesday night, one day after Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And Wednesday night, 6 hours more than that, is Wednesday night at midnight. That will be the next equinox. And the day after that will be Thursday midnight, Friday morning. And it will just keep going through the whole week, because you know 1 and a quarter is not a number that divides evenly into 7. And when you have a number that doesn't divide evenly into another number, and you keep going around and round, you have to cover every possibility before coming back to the first one. It can't pass through 7 days in 16 years, and 11 years, and 3 years, and 9 years, and 14. It has to go through every possibility that there is. How many quarter days are there in a week? How many quarter days are there? 28. That means till it gets back to Tuesday night, it's going to be 28 years. So Birkas HaChama is the time when the beginning of the year, which is the spring equinox, will take place on Tuesday night. The same time as it did during Masa Bereishis. That is what Birkas HaChama is all about. Has nothing to do with the sky. I just told you about the sky to help be mevatel the idea of position in the sky. And it does a wonderful thing when we talk of position in the sky, because since nobody knows what in the world that means, so therefore it adds to the mystique of Birkas HaChama. But Birkas HaChama has nothing to do with position in the sky. It's when the equinox, assuming that the solar year is 365 and a quarter days long, so the next year will be a day and a quarter later, next year a day and a quarter after that, next year a day and a quarter after that, and in order to get back to the first Tuesday night, well, it has to pass through every quarter of a day of 7 years. So there has to be 28 day and a quarter advances till it reaches Tuesday night all over again. That's what happens when two numbers are primed to each other. They don't divide in with each other. So it has to be repeated, the amount of possibilities that there are. The 28 possibilities. So it's only going to be on the 29th, which is 28 years later, that it will reach Tuesday night again. Okay. Do we see anything when we look at the sun? Rabbi say, if it was the same position, we would see nothing. Do you realize that? When I say the sun travels among the stars and it follows an exact path, does anybody see that? Of course not. Why? Because you can't see any of the sky, and you can't see the stars when you're looking at the sun. You could only see the stars by night. So you can't follow the position of the sun in the sky But you have to calculate it. Okay? What you see an hour after sunset when the stars become visible. And by calculating, we could plot the position of the sun throughout the sky. So even in the morning, or no matter what, it's impossible to see the sun's path in the sky. It's not shayach liya, koroye chamavit kufosa. But what it simply means is we look at the sun. And when we look at the sun, we sense the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ma'aseh Bereishis, because we realize that another period of time passed, which is reminiscent of the first shining of the sun, which took place in the beginning of the creation of the world, when Hashem Yisborach created the world. That's why we say Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis. We remind ourselves of the Ma'aseh Bereishis originally, when Hashem Yisborach said Yehi Ma'oreis Birkei HaShemayim. And that happened on a Tuesday night. And on this year, it'll also happen on a Tuesday night, because 28 rotations passed, each one advancing the one before it by a day and a quarter, until it passed through all the possible quarter of days and came back to the Tuesday night that it started off with. And this is reminiscent of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Okay? Now, the prime messenger that announces the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world every single day is the sun. HaShemayim Mesaprim Kavoid Keil U'Masa Yodov Magid Horakia Yoim Li Yoim Yabiya Oimer V'Laylo V'Laylo Yichavet Doas. Right? And the sun starts out Yoses Ki Gibor Loretz Orach, right? And the sun travels across the sky and announces he's Misaper Kavoid Keil. He teaches us so many things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this mighty force which warms the earth and which provides it with the energy so that all the plants could grow and there should be food for all living things, Poseach Es Yadecha, who must be Alokol Chai Ratzoin, and provides the energy that makes all the power in the world exist. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it through his Shliach of HaShemayim Asafim Kvoit Keil. And that's what we feel when we get up and we remind ourselves of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and we see the sun and we realize that He's Kichosan Yoitse Mechuposoi. He's creating with each day a new rebirth of Ma'aseh Bereishis, because Hashem Yisborach put all that energy and that power and that light into the sun to provide us with the needs that we live from. So that's the Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis. There's a silent announcement. Sometimes you need a loud scream to be able to convey a message. Sometimes the message is conveyed without a peep. Like it says, Ein oimer ve'ein devorim b'li nishma koilam, and yet b'chol ha'oretz yotva kavam v'k'tzei sevel mileihem. The message is there despite the fact that there's no sounds and there's no noise. But the sun speaks to us by conveying kavoid keil, and that's the message of Birchas HaChama. Alochas of Birchas HaChama, Rabbi Yisrael. Everybody, I'm sure, has a little booklet and with all the shailas and halachas, and everybody has their plans, when is the minyan going to daven? Some people have an excellent view, so that from the shul with the davening, they can walk out right after the nets and see the orange, red colored sun just rising from the horizon. Some people unfortunately have their view blocked, so they'll first be able to make the drocha a half hour or something like that, when they'll be able to see the body of the sun rise. It's a birchas horiyah. Just like when you see many things which evoke hispilus, so too seeing the sun in this moment evokes the hispilus of being impressed by Ma'ase Bereishis. And a little insight, B'shas Ma'ase, is to stand there and marvel at all the things that Hashem Yisborach prepared for us in Ma'ase Bereishis. And to learn to appreciate the countless chasodim that there are in Ma'ase Bereishis. What happens are women mechuyev in Birkas Hachama. So you have a lot of conflicting messages. Some say yes and some say no. Some say women should be yotze with the men making the bracha. To consider Birkas Hachama a mitzvah shehazman groma, you know, it's, I think everyone could just take a simple glance at that and ask themselves, A, is it zman groma? It's not something that comes mizman lizman. It's a moment that exists mizman lizman. And when you see that moment, so you make a birkas hashevach, a birkas hariyat, but it's not a chiyuv that this man is goyim. It's a mitzvah that this man is goyim. But that's not a mitzvah shazman groma. Secondly, it's not a mitzvah. It's a birchas hariyah. And zman groma is only something that has to do with mitzvahs. The Gemara in Kedushin that learns out the tour of mitzvah sesach shazman groma is concerned with mitzvahs, not with anything outside of mitzvahs. This is a birkas hariyah and not a birkas hamitzvahs. However, there seems to be a minig in certain quarters that women don't make the bracha, and if that's the particular minig of whichever mishpacha is interested and knows that this is their minig, then the women should be yotze with others. But they could make the bracha. Years ago, there was a good, solid time for women not to make the bracha because kol kvudu bas melech penima, you have to walk out into the street. But today, it's quite possible to be able to look at the sun without walking out to the street, and perhaps women do pass by those places from where the sun is visible constantly. So that taina is not a shtaka taina. Everyone should do what her minig is. Every woman, every mishpacha should do these things on the basis of minig. The main thing, it should be a simcha. You know, there were times when there were brisen on Erev Pesach, and nobody failed to make a sudas bris with chalas and herring and everything else that's appropriate. So, if a person wants, they could make a suda. B'chorim still have to have a siyum, otherwise they can't eat because, as I said before, it's not a mitzvah. So there's no sudas mitzvah, but it should be a suda of shevach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? A b'chor could only patur himself from the tainus with a sudas mitzvah. But the siyumim should be made, and then people should, if possible, have a suda. The main thing is that you should utilize the moment to imbue yourselves, all of ourselves, with his pilus, contemplating Maaseh Bereishis. I want to comment briefly, Rabbi, on an issue which hopefully shouldn't be an issue that you're interested in. Every day, at least 3-4 times, they ask me, what's the view of Chazal? Does the sun go around the earth, or does the earth go around the sun? Rabbi Isai, I challenge anyone to find even one single reference in Chazal. Any reference that one might imagine exists in Chazal, whether the sun goes around the earth or the earth goes around the sun, is purely imaginative. It's taking some mimer here and there and figuring out how from this language in the Gemara there could be a reference to the sun going around the earth or the earth going around the sun. It's totally immaterial. There isn't a single reference in Chazal, and the reason for it is very poshut. The reason is because Shas is not a physics book or an astronomy text. You'll say, but it says in Posek HaShemesh Yotzeh Al Ha'oretz, so you see that the sun travels across the sky. Ah, Gevaldik, right? Did anybody look at the daily newspaper and notice where it says the time for sunrise? Right? In the New York Times it also has that. Sun rises and the sun sets. So the Times is of the opinion that the sun starts out in the east and rises, and later on it sets. So the Times is of the opinion that the sun moves across the sky. Rabbi Isai, language conveys what we want to convey to each other, and we use things as we experience them. We don't speak in technical language, and it would be absurd for the posik to say, instead of saying Hashemesh Yotza Al Ha'oretz, it would say in posik that the earth rotated on its axis to the point where the rays of the sun, which are bent in the atmosphere, made the image of the sun visible to the observers at that point in the world. If somebody would talk like that, no, out of kovod habriyos, the crowd would just turn around and disappear. You can't talk and convey thoughts in technical terms. No one does it, and no one should do it. And Chas v'Shalom that the Torah should express itself in a way that doesn't make sense to any human being. The language is always as we observe things, and the same thing with the most accomplished technologists today, astronomers and physics people. It makes no chiluk at all. You talk about inhuman communication as you see things. But does Chazal express their opinion whether the sun goes around the sky, around the earth, right? Geocentric or heliocentric. There's nothing in Chazal that's concerned with that. Does the Rambam say that the sun goes around the earth? Yes, he does. Well, that shows that the Rambam believes the sun goes around the earth. After all, that's what he says. But the Rambam also writes in Perek Yud Zayin in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh that all the cheshbonos and facts, as I told you, come from books which were written by Greek astronomers. And since what they say appears to be correct, Kavel Esa Emes Mimisha Omrei, and the Rambam also adds to that, that if only I had the opportunity to read from the Sforim that the Chachmei Yisochar were Mechaber on astronomy, then I would be able to tell you a lot of things that I can't, having had the Greek books only as my source. So Rabbi Isai, Is it an issue that we should be concerned with? No. Unless you happen to be an astronomer or, you know, studying the physics of the sky. Otherwise, but that has nothing to do with Torah. It's an issue that has nothing to do with Torah. I had a whole group of people who came running when they heard that I said that, and they said, after all, it says that the certain Sforim, that Yidden hold that the sun goes around the earth, and the Goyim hold the earth goes around the sun. Rabbi said, there's no such machloikis between Yidden and Goyim. It doesn't exist. But there was a period of time in the history of the world when there was a battle drawn between believers and non-believers. And Copernicus and Kepler and those who pushed Galileo, who pushed for the acceptance of the heliocentric theory, which means that the sun is in the middle and the planets go around the sun, they were considered heretics, non-believers, anti-religious people. And the Catholic Church, not the Yidden Rabbosei, but the Catholic Church fought for the acceptance of the religious notion that the sun goes around the earth. There was a battle between the Catholics and the people that they burnt at the stake and fought and condemned and so on. What in the world does that have to do with Yidden and Goyim? Let the Goyim fight amongst themselves. Right? Then we could sit back and relax. As long as they're not fighting us. There's no issue that involves Yidden or ever did involve Yidden. But for some period of time there was a kufa when the religious and the non-religious people in the eyes of the Catholic world had some kind of difference of opinion about the sun and the planets and the earth. Who cares? Who cares? So on the Klappenkopfenwand, it's not our issue, it's not an issue that has anything to do with the Torah Kedoshe or with Yidden as opposed to Umas HaOlam. Let's appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ma'aseh V'Reishis. The Ribbono Shel Olam was toiler the Ma'oros in the Rakia. Whether he was toiler the Ma'oros in the middle of the solar system or not, it doesn't say anywhere, and we're not interested in it. We're interested in one thing, Hashemayim Misaprim Kevoit Keilu Masa Yodav Magadu Rakia. Let's absorb all the inyonim of Kevoit Keil. Let's hear the message of the sun. Oimer, Yabia Oimer, V'layla L'layla Yichave Doas. And B'chol Ha'oretz Yotza Kavom Mikzei Sevil Milehem L'Shemesh Som Oil Boil. And so on. That's the message that we have to hear every 28 years, every morning, when we see the sun rise, and when we contemplate Ma'aseh B'Reishis and so many other opportunities, when we take a pair into our hands and we say Ribbono Shel Olam was Boirei Peri Ha'Eitz, we have to in his boinein and appreciate the Tovus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and let's leave it at that.